Here. It's not here.
Oh, why do you have to go off to Ad?
Deacon's meeting.
That's
exciting. First off, thank you. Hans will be here, and I think one other.
Karen
will be.
Karan.
So, four. This is informal as you can get. This is just sort of someone just barely passed the threshold talking to y'all. I've got a couple questions, but if anybody wants to get the ball rolling as far as we're just talking about life after high school, life after 18. Speak now or forever hold your peace. No? Okay. First question. And this should get some talk going.
If you don't mind, it's in our notes. I know what it was. Okay. There's only two of you here right now. But here's the question. What would you tell your 16, 17-year-old self right now?
Take as many opportunities as you could.
Okay.
I think a lot of people are so, they'll set themselves up for a goal, and they throw all they have at that one goal, and they miss all these opportunities on the way that could, A, better you and build you up for that goal, or B, take you down a path you didn't think you'd be on, but better than the goal you had already set. They get so tunnel-minded, so the tunnel vision, they don't have that on the horizon. I read John Piper one time, illustration about hiking a trail, and he's like, there's several different kinds of hikers. One hiker wants to get to the overlook. That's his goal. He's hiking along this beautiful trail, passing all these rivers and the wildlife and all the different views along the way, and he's tripping over these roots, you know, and all these things on the ground because he's not paying attention on the path. He's only focused on the goal, the overlook, and he gets to the overlook, you know, and that's it. That's his whole purpose. Then you have the other person who is so focused on the path of where they are right now so that they don't trip, that they miss the overlook and they walk right past it. And of course, he made it a lot more eloquent than that. But I would just say, a lot of what I've done already is because just meeting people, and people give me opportunities and different experiences to take.
Were you
just to be open to that.
A little less open to that as a high school student?
So funny, at 17, I graduated high school at 17, just months after 17. So I was like, I don't want anything to do with school. When I graduate, I'm going to get a job, and I'll never open up a book again. So I was very find a job and stick with it kind of mentality, rather than, hey, let's see what I'm good at or what I enjoy doing.
Good. That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm still a pretty shy guy, too.
You're a shy guy.
I would still consider myself an introvert.
Meaning people drain you.
Meaning that being open and talking to people, I have to, in a way, force myself to do that. And sitting here, like, hanging out with you guys, it's not like it's difficult, but it's not something that comes naturally. You know?
It requires
yeah,
effort.
Yeah. It does require effort.
Okay. Caleb, what would you tell your 16, 17-year-old self?
This is going to sound quite cliche, but there's a lot to it, and comparing yourself to others, seeing where everybody else is going and where you want to go, and make the best and the greatest for yourself, making sure you fit in groups and stuff like that. And I think a lot of, I didn't even reflect on this, it's in this past weekend. I went to visit a friend from college, it's her birthday, and the age-old game of never have I ever come up. And then, you know, you just, like, this comparability stuff, and you feel like you need to be validated by these experiences internally. And some experiences are not going to, they qualify you for these games that you're great at them or you're funny because all your fingers get knocked out. But on hindsight, that's not what qualifies you for life and getting through things and the betterment of yourself. You know, I think one of the key phrases is, if you don't stand for anything, you'll fall for everything. That's very, very true. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's honing in and trying to just find your identity in Christ, find your identity in relationships and what kind of person you are internally, look within instead of looking outward, developing your character and who you want to be with everybody else. And using that too, you're going into college and figuring out what you want to do. You know, my best advice is don't stress yourself out on figuring out that one thing that you're going to do for the rest of your life. Find yourself a starting point. There are bills to pay when you get older. You got to make it happen one way or another. And like the opportunities Haddon's talking about, to support yourself or find some way to help support yourself, get yourself started to even get it just figured out. Having the cash flow will help you achieve those opportunities and go after the different things to gain the experiences, to meet the people, to get you where you want to get.
Y'all find it weird that you're pegged with find out what you want to do for the rest of your life by next year?
Yeah.
Is that a little weird? Yeah.
It shouldn't be.
Yeah, and very good point made of.
That's just learning hindsight. I picked a career. I was like, okay, I can go to work, and I still agree with it. The fact of going and picking something that I can make a good income with and get started. You know, one thing that you guys that overlook, everybody's focused on college degree now, because that's been such a drive. The trend is going back to labor intensive technical work, and those jobs they're overlooked as whatever, but those are well-paying jobs that set you apart because you will become a hard worker. You want to start there. Start there and go after it. But I think that's one thing, looking back for me, is like I felt like, I gotta come out and find it. And then like a year in, I'm like, I'm doing this for the rest of my life. Or not if I want to. And so, I've already started transitioning, but then I look back, I'm like, you get called in that and you're like, okay, why did I choose to do this? Like, why didn't I choose something else? But hindsight's 20/20. So you don't figure that out as you go, but you gotta figure out the starting point. Don't overly pressure yourself.
It's a little different of the 90s. We were 90s kids, or 2000s. Graduated, 2012. I think even since 12 to now, 19, that 7-year gap, there's more pressure on you to figure it out, find that one thing, and to make a lot of money doing it, and to just be free and easy from here on out. Y'all could back me up on that. It doesn't work like that. It's not work like that at all. Good stuff. Good stuff. Got another. And y'all, please feel free to chime in, ask anything. Here we go. Number two. Is it more difficult right now for you to live out your faith, or was it more difficult in high school?
But it always is.
I think that's also, I'm not saying that it got any easier in college, though. I think your growth happens at not the same point for everybody. But the goal is to stay involved. Another thing with going to school, being at school, look outside of the school. Look what town you're going to be in. Look what church there is. I highly suggest each and every one of you get involved with the church. Not just your campus outreach, but find you a church and a community to be involved. But you will never find a church that way. Let's just put it that way. There's some things that get close. But having a multi-generational relationship, getting to know some people. Hans and I were actually talking about this earlier today. With him being in Augusta, and he's moving into a house with some guys. And, he's trying to support himself in that realm. And we were talking about, there's an older generation that we can find and we can be friends with and we can help out and interchange, and they will be more than willing to, hey, come cut my grass for this afternoon, or hey, will you come help me change this light bulb or something like that. But the relationship is so valuable, and it can be exchanged monetarily, and those people will help you along your way, like you were talking about, with the opportunities that you get. Definitely, stay grounded. Don't be afraid to be the odd man out. It happens.
That is a...
What I feel worse is probably going to be worse for y'all being the odd man out than it was for either of us.
Mm-hmm. That is a good word. Find a church first.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. I mean, check your areas, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's where you can slowly lose out and stop going to church and then just do RUF or something like that. You see that happen a lot, but you just get very involved in whatever's on campus, which is good, but then you lose worship on Sundays.
And for example, like when I was looking at PA schools, considering them, you know, it would be awesome to go to Colorado. Wouldn't that be like the best place to be in school? You can do whatever you want to on the weekends. And then, you know, fitting myself to different areas. And then there was a school in Mississippi that I fit into, and then Augusta that I fit into. Well, we know that there's a great church in Augusta. Mississippi's full of ARPs, BCAs. But then I was like, Colorado, I'm like, where would I go? It's so liberal out there right now, especially that it would be like, you know, you could have a lot of fun with people, but you wouldn't find any like-minded people, and you'd feel left wanting, even though you were keeping busy.
Nice. So you pretty much agree it's...
Yeah, but to living out faith, it's a lot different in high school because you're still under your parents' or your family's faith. In a lot of ways, you don't have that kind of independent where you start developing not your own beliefs, but really what it is that you do believe. And it's not just what mom and dad tell you every day. It's, you know, your personal relationship. It's not like there's ever flipped a switch where it's just like, all right, it's all on you. Because when you go to college, a lot of that is, you know, you move out and all of a sudden you're faced with this new life. Where I would say it's different. It's not more difficult. It's just very different.
Okay. It's just different.
Yeah, different style.
Okay. All right. You've never encountered the caricature atheist professor, have you? Sometimes.
I mean.
Yeah. Okay.
Not to like. Yeah. I mean, I can sense, but not like this.
Not like God's Not Dead guy.
Yeah.
Not the God's Not Dead movie guy.
Yeah. Right.
But you have experienced like non-believer teachers who may want to get you on their side.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of, I mean, they're not as overt as that guy. Christians, I smell them.
Yeah, they're not like that.
But they do get some weird pleasure out of getting you away from your parents' beliefs.
Yeah.
If anybody can let me, I will quietly take out my knife.
That's where Caitlin and I are definitely different. I would just kind of like, okay, whatever. But Caitlin would get up in the face and I'm sure hash it out. But that's where we differ.
Yeah.
He tells me.
Yeah, there's a story behind this.
Would you say atheist professor?
I had two English professors early on. I was doing, my first 2 years of school, I had the opportunity to join an honors program where at the school I went to, Gordon State College. If you join the honors state program, you got first dibs on picking your classes, which was awesome, you know, because you guys will find out, being a freshman, it's hard to make a schedule that's worth anything. You can go to class at 8 a.m. and then not go back to 8 p.m. and a couple days ruined, you can't do anything else. But I had two honors classes that I had to take to stay within the program, and I'm not, the first one was, you had to pick, like, somebody you idolize and recreate their work and kind of try to take on their personality and convey it in writing, which went very well. It came out very well. That teacher was respectful of it and actually, you know, had some intriguing thought behind it. It was like, okay, this is, you know, kind of interesting. When I was full of classmates that picked people like Sigmund Freud and Douglas Adams, I don't know if anybody's heard of those names before.
Douglas Adams sounds familiar, but I just don't know.
I did well in the first class. The guy was intrigued. In the second class, the lady was not. It was filled with romantic comedies from whatever date to current times. And, well, romantic comedies are not really funny.
They are. They make you cry more than they make you laugh.
Not at all, though. That's not what they do at all. They're not humorous. They pick on things that are not funny, that are just really brutal more than anything. But in a society, society filled without ethics and without morals, and they somehow find humor in it. But I tried to take a Christian standpoint and just maintain my ground in that, and I got mutilated. She colored my whole final paper in red. Worst grade I ever made. But walking out of class on the last day, one of the fellow students said to me, she was like, I really liked your project. I wish I would have picked something like that.
Wow.
So it was stuck between watching my GPA go, but having, you know, the courage to help somebody else stand out. And it's worth it. And you have to balance this one good grade, one bad grade, then meet in the middle somewhere.
Yeah. That's
there
good.
There will be those that are that just kind of smirk and watch about that. Like I said, it's probably going to be a lot worse for all of y'all.
Yeah.
Hey, Brad, did you know that my grandfather actually went to Erskine for 2 years before he got drafted?
I did.
Huh. Isn't that interesting?
Roots are deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about this one? What do you think has been the biggest help in sort of claiming your faith since your high school days? What's been the biggest help?
People, surrounding yourself with people. I mean, I'm still, you know, with family, so I'm sure it's a lot difficult when somebody actually moves off to college. I mean, Caitlin's lived that life, moving off for a little bit. It's like Hans, you know, first semester he's already moved out and far away. That's a little different than something I've experienced, but just being in the workplace, here and there, different places. Surround yourself with good people, good friends. I met some awesome people at Chick-fil-A who were crossroads people, but they're still friends. And of course, I'm so close to my family, so good different cousins and all that. People.
It was like I was going off of earlier, is finding a church. I was very blessed to find a church down in Savannah that was fulfilling. That was a lot of time spent. I spent time with my classmates. Once you get into an actual program of study, you'll grow a lot closer to your classmates because there'll be a few of you studying. So you'll have some people to fill your time. But then, like, having a church to go to and see other familiar faces and having people that, you know, actually are sitting there listening to the same stuff, you know, obviously entirely believe in all the entire stuff is pushing the lines. But you have a lot more common around people, and there was some older people there that you had developed relationships with. I mean, one guy took me out one day when I went, he was a real estate guy, and he took me out searching for apartments. They took me out to lunch the first day after church. And, it was a good community sense. I was good friends with the pastor's daughter, and so, you know, I was really involved with their family and stuff like that. Like, they would have me over knowing that I was living down there by myself. And so, you know, God will look out for you in those many needs. And, you know, I think I feel very blessed in that realm of having that church and having those relationships. But it's very easy to go off and not want to venture out and go try.
Yeah.
Let's just put it out here. If any of you don't want to go by yourself, I'll come visit one weekend and we'll go find a church. Some research. I'll research and point you and put you in the, hey, this sounds like a good area to go try, or that'll be a good idea. I mean, I'll go with you. I'll
nice.
Up and shake my hand and meet random people, and I'll put you with somebody else, and then we'll be the buddies the rest of your life.
And it depends on what translation they use. I'm just kidding. That's nice. What do you think? Did you appreciate White Oak all the more after high school?
Sure.
Because you really don't know what you have till it's gone.
Well,
I didn't.
Yeah. I say this all the time. You guys are so close. It's awesome watching you. Just enjoy each other's company.
Yeah, we're actually planning to have movie night Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah. Y'all just love doing stuff together. You don't have to go out and experience these huge things. We weren't close at all. We hated each other. No, I'm just kidding. No, we.
You're like, what year were you? you talk about the moving off stuff. Like, you got involved with Crossroads, and so you can compare and contrast there and know, and, you know, the different church style families. And,
yeah.
You know what you have versus what you don't have.
Mm-hmm. There's a
fella, and he will remain nameless, who previous church, he really said, I cannot wait to get out of the stuffiness that is New Covenant. It was a little bit like White. I cannot wait to go to, and he had in his mind this church that was just like,
he's a high school student.
All these like young people hanging off the rafters and just like, yeah, you know. And he found one in Clemson that kind of met that criteria. And saw him at Thanksgiving. He's like, you're right. Don't rub it in. You're right. Yeah. So I was like, you're at Clemson PCA, aren't you?
Yeah.
So it's funny, though. Like, we sometimes think this is the norm, White Oak.
You're right.
What was it? I noticed a lot of those who go to college and come back, like, they call, like, you know, fluff, like where they went, there wasn't the meat of, they saw the difference, like you're not, the teaching, which is very different.
And
so it was neat to see that you can be in such a good church where you can notice that, it, you know, that's so healthy. You can notice good teaching versus not.
How about this? Did high school do a good job of preparing you for adulting?
It's there. I didn't use the resources as well as I wish I would.
Okay.
I believe it's there. I mean, I went to, you know, different kind of school the most. But, yeah. Teachers wanted to help, and I was just being lazy. I was just like, no, I got this on my own.
Okay.
That's what I mean by it. It was there, and I just didn't take it. I was, I mean, as a junior, I was already like, yep, high school is over with. I'm done. I clocked out in my head. Which is my driving force for being back in school now. My goal is to change the relationship I had with school because I didn't have a good note. I'm like, I'm going to do better. And, you know, I'm going in with a completely different mindset. And so far, it's a completely different relationship. I can't say I enjoy it, but I know it's going to better me in the end.
Good. Good. You have a good semester overall? Good semester?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. And are you now like 30 credit hours in? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Halfway mark, so we'll see.
Wow.
It's good. It's pretty good.
Okay.
Fun.
Okay.
A lot of time, but it's fun.
And Kate, you're kind of doing both. You have one foot in the professional world, one foot in the academic world, correct? Sort of, kind of?
In and out.
Okay.
So I'm almost swimming in the deep end, just shoveling at the moment.
Okay. And when you look back, high school, did high school prepare you?
Did good. There's a lot of things that I wish I would have known, and this is not a natural thing for most people, and which Chad's good at this too, is networking and learning how to network and develop in relationships. I've learned that more in hindsight later when I got into like my degree program and stuff like that, and gaining experience and being able to say, all these mission trips are going to be beneficial to you guys, and being volunteer work and showing that you get out and you support different things. So as far as school-wise goes, I would say, yeah, I mean, it was adequate, but I think there's a lot in learning for, like, preparing for jobs and how to build your resume that probably got skipped on a little bit. And that's been kind of sliding by the seat of my pants, kind of made it. Direction, I suggest looking into the actual degree program is the full requirements and how you can prepare yourself and getting on that now, really.
Nice. sort of the same vein of another question. Are there things you may have taken for granted? Besides White Oak, are there other things that you may have taken for granted 5 years ago? Anything?
Kind of like what I was saying, I didn't take those opportunities. There were plenty of teachers where my problem in high school, I wasn't just a dummy. I just didn't do what makes me a dummy. I didn't do work. I just didn't do it. Every time I would do my homework or my classwork, I would do really well in it. But then there were other times where I would procrastinate. And it would just snowball. And at the end of the week, I've got all this work I'd go, okay, I'm just going to just not do it. That was my decision. Don't know, still haven't found the cause of that. I'm working on defeating that. But it drove the teacher nuts because it's like, I don't understand. You know how to do the work. You do well at it when you do it. Why are you choosing not to do it? I have no idea. I'm still finding that battle. And it drove my parents nuts, too, because it wasn't just like, we have a dummy on our hands. It's like, he has the potential. Why isn't he doing it? So the teachers wanted to help. They were offering their time, wanting to find this problem and fix this and beat it before I struggle with it again. And so that was what I wish I would have. What was the question?
Yeah, things you've taken for granted.
Yeah, things I took for granted. Was that help and that assistance they wanted to get? The above and beyond. I mean, they were going above their normal 8 hours a day and willing to spend time after or before school. And I was just like, I'll figure this out. Didn't. Haven't yet, but I'm getting better. So, yeah.
Any questions from y'all?
You got somebody you've got two people with 5 years under their belt, six somewhere, seven, which could be beneficial for you.
What were like some of the challenges of losing like friend groups as others went off to college and you stayed behind or you went to college? Were there specific challenges that you had finding new friends or staying in contact, and how did you deal with those?
Growing up, I think I mentioned this at the Horizon. Growing up, I never really had a good friend group because I had so many cousins. It was all just family. Grew up with family. Got some friends here and there, but when they moved away, we were at the point of our friendship. Just kind of like, all right, that was a great 5-6 years, whatever. And then I got to meet people in high school, and I hung out with the nerdy kids. Didn't make any sense. But they were the ones that took me in, and I hung out with them. And since graduation, haven't talked or seen any of them. And we just never built that friendship. And that's what I wish I would have either found a group or really built friendships that I did have. Because, again, I could go to the networking thing. You could build a good friend group in college or in high school, and then you approach the professional world, and you still have those contacts. Well, all of a sudden, one guy has built a company, and he remembers that you wanted to do good in cybersecurity. Hey, come work for me, man. Or vice versa, you know. You've got this company you've started, and you know some of the people that are wanting to go in. So maintain those friendships and relationships. But I found my true friends when I started working at Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A hires awesome people, so I got to meet awesome people. And they got me introduced into Inside the Crossroads and realized that there's actually more college-age people than the three or four that are at White Oak. So there's a lot out there. So I kind of approached that at Chick-fil-A. I never really lost them. I just found more. Per se, because I really didn't have anything to start off with. I was okay with being by myself a lot.
I would kind of the same background on that. I didn't really have a real core group. I changed, and which you did too, changed schools a lot. I mean, I was in a different school for each sector, so elementary, middle school, high school, all different sectors. So by the time that I got to high school, everybody's been together for 9 years already. So I was kind of a new kid on the block, so getting really plugged into a group that was difficult. I'll kind of be a little heartbreak here and tell you, though, that you know, as much as you put into a relationship, in order for it to last, you got to be reciprocated. So you may have the greatest friend in the world. You love spending time with them. But if they're just living by the seat of their pants for moment after moment, that friendship's not going to last. It's not going to be fulfilling for you long term. You've got to, you know, there's some wisdom that comes with that and where to invest your time and growing with your relationships. And sometimes you'll go after one because, you know, we all like to enjoy and have fun, and we're going to chase the fun ones. And then the fun one's the one that, you know, didn't work out. And then you'll see who you had an opportunity to develop a relationship in hindsight, and they've already developed a relationship somewhere else, and it's stronger in the bond, and you kind of get the impression that you probably missed. Wisdom there. And like I think I mentioned kind of slightly earlier, it's hard to develop any real good relationships within like classes and stuff without getting plugged into different groups or like your roommate or something like that for the first 2 years just because you're going different ways. Once you get to studying the same thing, if you're in a pretty condensed program, I mean, I'm still good friends with a lot of the girls that I study ultrasound with. The biggest thing is definitely develop the right relationships when you have the opportunity to do. Make sure you're in a good area to build and develop.
Amen. What's been one of the awesome things, and you've touched on this, is to see is, you know, everybody here is pretty close to one another, but, you know, like, it seems weird, and y'all know what I'm talking about, but these days aren't forever.
You'll look back and those are the good
days.
Yeah.
Remember when we pissed Pastor James off so bad?
Remember when we went and stayed in the basement of that cottage and watched The Office and, you know, that kind of thing. That
watched The Office without me?
It's so random and rare.
Yeah.
You'll find yourself like 5 years from now going, man, that was a good time.
Yeah.
You know? So drain it for all you can.
Oh, yeah.
This coming
and
year.
And I don't know, I think in different seasons, even as long as I've been an adult, there's periods where you have those sweet friendships and you go well where you may not have them. And you just have to do your identity in Christ. You go back to that and trust the Lord and be thankful for what you have, but try not to get so down that you may not have it at certain seasons.
Because
it comes and goes. But I don't know, because I was kind of grew up, didn't have that core group of friends. It really wasn't until probably last church as a late an adult. But it makes you treasure those friendships when you do have them. You know, I'm sure for y'all, when you don't have those that you connect with, and they're back and forth, you treasure those because those are very rare. And what y'all have is very rare. It's been a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah, God.
I love it because I didn't have that growing up, and it's been really cool to see that because I wish I had that when I was your age.
Lord willing, you'll say, I woke up every morning to a bobcat.
Yeah,
that scared me in the face.
Scared me in the face gave me confidence.
Yeah.
You can do this, friend.
Can we actually turn that to a minute?
Haddon?
Yeah.
If you got to go, you got to go. We understand.
I'll leave one more thing. This is a different track. So in the workforce, in the workplace, in the past few jobs I've had, very different jobs, my goal was to be valuable and to be an asset to the company. It's just kind of what I learned earlier. It's not just find a niche and plug in, but to go that next step and be proactive and be valuable to the company, that when they look at you, they don't just see someone doing the job that they're assigned for. They see someone going, hey, I've got this new project. I'm going to go to that person. Or, hey, let's try this out. Go above and beyond, not for the sake of, I'm going to blow them out of the water, and sometimes that can get annoying. You know, if I've got you doing this job and you're starting to do all this other stuff, you know, sometimes the boss gets a little freaked out by that. But just be, if you find out what you love to do and you do that, you know, the cliche term, you'll never work a day in your life if you do something you enjoy doing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I try to find things that I'm really good at and do them because I enjoy them more, which makes me do them even better. And then I enjoy them even more. And it's just this, you know, this cascading event. So I don't know if that makes any sense. But, yeah, be valuable. Be something where you're worth a lot to that company. And they'll keep
you.
Whether that mean the way you work or the way you act. Those things go hand in hand. You can be the best worker but never talk to anybody or rude and grumpy. Or you can be the other way. You're real friendly to everybody, but you don't really get a whole lot done. So there's a balance.
Mm-hmm. He's got a good point. Yeah. It's very valuable. I feel like hand in hand at the hospital. My position now, I'm really enjoying it, but there's our brother's a transporter at Piedmont Fayette, but there's transporters at Noonan, and you can see they're just straight. It's just a transition kind of job for them. And so it's been really apparent here lately, and there's scripture to back it up. I just can't tell you what it is and quote it for you at the moment. But whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So it may be the suckiest job in the entire world, but do your best at it. Be valuable to your employer and do your job appropriately. You will be rewarded far beyond. Your manager and other people will notice your different character, your stand out. You'll get the promotions. You'll move forward in life. You'll have the, what do they call it, like a letter of recommendation for the future.
Oh, yeah. That looks really good, too.
But just work hard, whatever you do, for sure.
Even if it's not what you want to do, because they'll see that. Why are you sweeping the floors and doing good at the sweeping the floors when you want to be an engineer? Oh, because I know that working hard is going to get me to where I want to be. And they see that, they'll help you. So, and your faith. Even if they don't agree with what you believe in, but they see you standing firm in your faith, they will respect that to a certain degree, whether they show it or not. Even if they don't agree with it. But cool. This isn't over. Talk to me. I'll help you. I'm with paper. We'll go
search.
Church
shopping.
Yeah.
We'll take the bus.
Yeah. We'll use John Crist's mentality of
church
shopping.
And the white of Airbnb.
What is this, a Trump rally?
We got you a new
job. Yeah.
John Crist.
I just thought of something, and I would understand what y'all say. As far as in friendships, be the initiator. Don't think everyone's going to initiate with you.
That's
moving
good.
A lot, I've learned I have to initiate, or otherwise I'd have no friends.
Or else you're both standing there waiting on the other person to do something. And then it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
You won't be let down.
So don't be discouraged if no one initiates. You make a tough decision.
Yeah.
If they refuse, blame it on them and move on.
They'll come back.
They're the ones who missed out.
Love you guys.
Thanks.
See you, Haddon.
See you, Haddon.
Bye, Haddon.
See you, Haddon Bird.
See you, Haddon Bird.
Okay, well... Karen will be here pretty soon. Hopefully this has been eye-opening of value to you. Can't think of any more adjectives for that, but valuable. Anything else?
What do people have in mind? What interests you? We'll go down that stream. Speak your mind and see, this would have been good when Haddon's here. Because, at this point in time, and especially now, any of you have any sort of health interest in healthcare, I have some avenues I can get you in. We can start building that experience, building your resume, get you to know somebody so that when you do graduate, you have a door that's open. At least gain you some experience there, whether that's your goal as a long-term job or whatever. Even if it's not healthcare, I may know somebody that's in a special division that could give some pointers or can set you up to go shadow them. That's huge.
Do you know what you want to do?
If you don't, it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
But it is a good time to go looking around at ideas, so you're not
jumping
in with this idea, I think I want to do this, you're like, oh, this is really
now
what I want
to
do.
The best time you got to take a look.
Yeah.
I did not pick ultrasound specifically until my second year of college. I knew I wanted to go medical. I knew I was interested in radiology. And I figured out what schools I wanted to go to. And then I got there. Did some shadowing, and I finally picked ultrasound, and that's how I ended up, where I ended up. So get you a general idea going. And, a good resource is just even exploring. It's called BLS.gov. It's the Bureau of Labor Statistics. You go on there, and you'll find what they call the Occupational Handbook, I think. Maybe some other word in there, too. It'll list, basically. It'll list every job you could ever imagine. I mean, you can't scroll through all of the jobs unless you have about an hour to scroll. And even then, that hour doesn't allow you to click on and read anything. But you can find out how fast that job position is growing, what the typical opening degree is, what the average median pay is, what the job description is, what you're going to be doing, stuff like that. And that gives a very valuable asset. I had a next kind of class, and every week, every Friday, we have to pick a job, go on that website, research it, and build us a portfolio of what we might want to do one day. It allowed some of our exploring and stuff like that. But I still go on it every now and then randomly just to look up stuff, figure out if that would be a beneficial direction.
That's way better than Aiken County. It's full of people who want to be engineers, not because they love engineering. Because it's comfortable. You make a lot of money. Your dad did it. You just go to Clemson. Hey, come on in, Karen. Come on in. Would you like some pizza? Some za, if you will.
We won't let you go hungry tonight, Karen. Last night. Did you find food?
But literally, how many people was it, Mara?
about 80%. You go to Clemson, you become an engineer. And I remember talking to one of them going, do you really want to do that? Well, I don't want to rock the boat.
Pressure of doing certain things.
I don't want to rock the boat.
Yeah, don't please a man. You want to search and see if people are, what have you called me to?
Yeah, he's gifted you with certain abilities, and I think you're in disobedience if you're doing it just to
please mom and dad, or please.
Now,
you want to respectful.
Yeah.
Respect them, but if there's something truly God's called you that's different than what might be the norm of what's outside your family, you know, some families have certain things they do.
Yeah. Again,
your pressures, you know.
Afro-Cuban step funk might not be the best major, but that might be more of a hobby. But definitely.
Notice that here in your old church.
No.
There's lots of pressure.
Yeah.
Need some healthcare?
Any of those noises when I got my pizza?
Come on down. You can have that. You can have the.
I won't take your chair.
Or not. That's fine. We're just talking about basically life post high school. What advice would you like to give, Karen? Actually, 2 years ago. Two years ago.
Kind of on the spot there, dude. No,
yeah.
I guess just don't get stressed about little stuff. Always call your professor, professor. Don't go with Mrs. or ma'am, or Mrs. or Mr. or any of that. Just go with professor. Because once I emailed a lady, I was taking an online class, and I thought she was a lady, but it was actually a man.
Oh.
So I said,
no.
Let me see. I said, dear apologies. It was like Mrs. Woodbrook or something like that. I was emailing her. So always address them with professor, especially if you're taking an online class.
That's a safe route.
That's a safe route. And two, doctor, if you know that they have a doctor.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes they'll say, call me doctor, and then you call them doctor.
Yeah. And hey, doc.
Yeah. Hey, doc. What's up?
Yeah.
Are you the doc Hudson?
Yeah.
That's a good word.
Don't get stressed about the small stuff. Like, stuff's gonna happen all the time. Like, you're gonna walk in and your roommate's gonna say something rude to you, and you're gonna be like, alright. And then you're gonna say something rude back, and then
you won't fight? Yeah, and then you're gonna fight.
Then you're gonna fight, but then you gotta, like, you know, kind of swallow your pride and go back and be like, hey, sorry I said that, shouldn't have said that. Man, like, I hope you're having a good day now. What happened? Do you need to talk? Like, or you pull into the wrong entrance, and, like, you pull into a house that you thought was your teacher's house if you're, like, going there for tutoring or whatever, and turns out to be a neighbor's house, and you kind of walk up to the door and knock and everything, and turns out it's the house next door. But, you know, don't sweat that stuff.
What about playing with friends? What would you say for you? How has that been, or different, or advice?
Like, I expected everybody to be like, hey, try these drugs, you know? They're delicious. But really, everybody's like, everybody's more like, hey, man, I'm doing these drugs, do you want to join? And then you're like, nah, man, thanks, though. And then they just continue on.
You start drinking out the floor, and like,
that sounds like the after-school specials back when you were growing up.
Yes.
Hey, it's drugs! Everybody's doing it!
Yeah, it was like hey, it's like they're in the old part of France where everybody was just doing steroids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's not quite the caricature you're saying. Not quite the caricature of party, wild, all
that. I mean, if you're looking for that, you're going to find it.
You'll find
but,
it.
Like, if you're not really looking for it, it's not going to, like...
You have to find it.
You have to go to this party. You're just like,
all right. Whatever. I go in that party, I see everything that's legal, and then I leave and dial 911.
No, you don't do that.
Just leave, it's fine. Just leave.
Just leave.
Yeah,
just leave. Don't do anything. It'll take care of itself. It's better not to get involved.
Stitches get stitches, well.
That's
besides,
true.
If you call someone, then
you
have
got wisdom
testify.
Already.
So
make it anonymous.
We've been drilling that to Thomas every day.
You don't have to testify with the non-case.
So maybe it's different. You're more on the college campus.
Mm-hmm.
You're in it 24/7. That's your reality. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is the '90s, all right? I was in the '90s, but it was what I found was the first week, everybody wanted to be your friend. Everybody's like, come to this party, come to this party. And you find out, oh, this is a fraternity, and they're trying to buy my friendship. That's what's going on.
I so cannot relate.
But no, it's not because you're special and you're great. It's like we need numbers, and you have, you know, we think you might bring money to our organization.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Like, there's going to be a lot of, like, societies that want you to, like, commit. Like, freshman year, it's like, oh, man, you want to get involved. You want to be in everything, you know? You, like, want to be involved on campus. You want to, like, do make a difference.
That's why the first day I stay home.
Yeah, that's basically what happens. You end up staying in your room and you're like, wow, I don't know anybody here.
There's a place for it.
Sure.
You at least.
Sure.
You gotta be selective.
You're like,
sure.
Back was
there
out
are
kind of
the opportunities for great friendships to come out of because you are stuck with each other 24/7. But there's room for also harmful relationships to come from it, which is, you know, the selective process. I think one thing that's changed majorly for me is there's so much that they throw the freshmen into this year to get everybody together to go do stuff.
They're doing these new things that they call like freshman orientation. They do for freshman orientation, obviously, but like this one is like a class you have to take.
Oh yeah.
So that teaches you how to do the good notes, how to do this, how to make friends, and you know, it's like trying to get you acquainted with people. So
you
actually
kindergarten.
Have friends. It is like. I had a really good one.
Life skills no longer developed.
That makes me laugh.
Yeah.
It's meant to be a name tag.
But don't fail it, because it's a pass fail, and if you fail it,
you do you really have a pass fail?
It is a pass fail.
What's the pass fail?
You are not a good friend.
You are not.
Fail.
You are going back to college kindergarten.
In timeout. You have to learn to go down that slide better.
I failed friendship. That's a very unique name.
It somehow turned up blue instead of red. I don't know how that happens.
Your faith. Living out your faith post high school. We talked about that. What have been some challenges? What have been some helps, pointers?
Sorry.
What
I
in the world?
Yeah. We'd be untroubled together. I can already tell.
Oh.
They giggles. Yeah, they do it too. We've already had the conversation.
They have Mariner twin sister like telepathic giggling ability. But anyway, living out your faith, what's been some challenges and helps as someone in your position?
I hate to say it, but I didn't really get involved in many like religious organizations or anything. I like would go to the meetings and everything. Like I found it kind of hard to like. Sometimes they're held kind of late at night, so you got to get that like, yeah, I'm going to RUF tonight. Like, yeah, let's do this thing instead of being like, oh, I have 8 essays to write before tomorrow because I put it off until the last minute.
Mm.
And you know, but I would say. I had a way to get to church. The biggest thing is getting to church. Like, usually there's not one on campus, or if there is, it's like non-denominational, and that's kind of.
You mean Baptist?
No.
That's an Adam Way joke.
There are a lot of those.
Adam Way joke. But you did find a church.
I did find a church.
Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
It's a Baptist church.
That's fine. Hey, that's fine. That's fine.
Do they run like
us? Can they read the KJV?
Yeah, but it's pretty good church.
Good. Good.
They have a great youth group program, so they do a lot of outreach.
Good. Good. What else did we discuss?
What are things you regret?
Regrets? We're not letting you eat at all. I'm sorry. Every time you get a bite, we're asking you a question. Regrets. Any regrets? If you could go back 3-4 years.
The high school events.
I really feel like the mistakes I made and the things that I did wrong actually helped me more than succeeding with. So I don't know if I'd actually go back and change anything. Like,
learned a lesson, but so you can do that.
I wouldn't have paid attention if I didn't like fail a couple of times, you know?
Yeah. But you didn't intentionally go out to make a mistake. Like that just, it kinda happens on its own.
I mean, a couple of times I've made a few mistakes on purpose, but usually by that point I'm like, ah, man, like I should not have done that. Like there was this party I went to, stayed out to 2 or 3 in the morning, came back.
Usually when I go to bed.
Oh, great, church is at 8:30 tomorrow, and so I slept through church.
Oh!
There we go.
Oh!
I remember that.
Laser.
Okay, I have to mini hand Karen.
Man.
I have actually been in a place where somebody, this is way off topic, but they were speaking. They were speaking, and they were like, it was to a bunch of juvenile, like, it was a jail for kids who got in trouble.
Juvenile delinquents.
Yeah, so one of the kids there, and it wasn't my turn to speak, because other guys, we took turns, and the kids there was nodding off. He goes, I rebuke the spirit of sleep! Like, I didn't know. No, it was the spirit of sleep. And he's just tired. But I mean, he was, like, getting all, like, monotone, and maybe this is your, I rebuke! What else? Because we're kind of wrapping up everything. It's been a good, fruitful, valuable time. I can tell by Hannah that she has enjoyed it. And
I have a good spirit of sleep.
Yeah, okay, you're just like...
I have a good spirit of sleep.
Now you just talk. You just taught him a new phrase.
What is your major?
I'm doing Spanish and cybersecurity.
Okay.
So, they're
going to
be fun
times.
Okay.
Yeah, have you ever taken up this intercourse in Spain?
What kind of stages is this?
Right.
What kind
of cybersecurity in Spain?
Yeah,
right.
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be
amazing.
Secure Spanish websites.
Yeah.
Yes.
See.
See.
Yes, yes. See.
Well, what about taking opportunities to travel and go overseas when in college? That's the only time I ever did that. Like,
yeah,
you take advantage of those opportunities you may never have once you don't have money.
You never have money, but... I've thought about it, but, again, it's going to be pretty obvious if I'm going to, but I'm not going to, so I'm not worried about it.
Do you take a look, take care of that. Do you take a look at any of the history courses? Because I really want to know all the different kinds of history you can.
Mercer's more oriented towards medical programs, so we got a lot of biology courses.
Never mind, I'm going to Gordon.
Yeah, good idea.
Good. All right.
Oh, but the professors will go like that youth pastor. So they'll like I have had a professor like say very quietly to the rest of the class while there's someone sleeping, I had to wake up at 7 a.m. for this, so all of you are going to stay awake too.
Mm-hmm.
Picked up a textbook. Bam! Right next to his head. Because
wow.
It does happen. And professors do not appreciate it if they think you're not taking them serious.
Also, I had a professor put a trash can, close the door at 8:01 if class started at 8:01, he closed the door and put a trash can in front of it. So anybody coming in would have to trip over it. And he was like, class starts at 8.
Is this an Erskine?
No, UC Aiken. He'd be like, try to start today. But it only worked one time. That was all that happened. Yeah. So they do take that very seriously. They're calling in their job.
I feel like people would catch on, like look in the door before they opened it.
I think there was a window like that. You couldn't really see it unless you were like looking down.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Yeah.
But
I guess after that they realized that there was a trash can there and didn't. If they ever tried to do, if they ever came in late again.
They probably didn't go to class if they were late. It would be embarrassed.
If you come in late every day, sometimes it counts against you. The professor will write it down and be like, all right, time to take points off the next test.
Yeah. And sometimes if it catches on, like if a whole class doesn't show up, he will reward those who do show up and be like, this is your next exam, word for word. You know, they're not here to hear.
And it's open notes.
Yeah.
For those who showed up on time.
Sounds like you speak from experience.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Spanish professors on Fridays.
Monday!
Like, hey,
get out of my classroom, but I want to go.
Thursday is
still probably the night where the campus is out at different places and Friday classes are not really the thing, right?
Yeah, well, sometimes it is. Sometimes it isn't. Depends on whether you're in biology or not.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, anybody else? Anybody else? I know it's... We're working on 7:30 now. It's been an hour, and Karen, we do appreciate it. Please enjoy your pizza. Caitlin, thank you so much.
If only we could thank you.
Carry your pigeon to heaven. But yeah, hopefully you found this to be beneficial for you in some way. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you so much for... thank you for your covenantal faithfulness to all those here at White Oak who have gone past high school, who are now just crossed that line. And we thank you, Lord, for putting in their heart to pour into the next group coming in through. And Lord, we pray that we take this wisdom and use it. And God, that in all things you be glorified, that you provide each and every student here with a community of believers, a church, wherever you may send them within the next year or two. Lord, we pray that you keep them close to yourself through your people, through the ministries at church. Lord, we pray also that you would put in their mind what it is you'd have them to do with the rest of their life. Lord, enable them to see their gifts and abilities. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Is that Hans?
Hans.
Hey, Hans, come in! Oh, Hans, this is great!
How you doing?
Good. How's Michael?
Michael?
Yeah.
He's all right. I haven't heard recently, but I knew he's supposed to get his back looked at again this morning to see if he needs surgery or not.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard the results from that yet.
Okay.
Yeah. His back brace was supposed to come in today, so that's good.
I saw it on Facebook. It did.
It did?
It did.
Perfect.
So.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything.
Yeah.
I'm kind of not in the know. For some reason, I'm not in the loop of people that know things. I don't know. I keep on hearing stuff from other people.
Wait a minute. It's that door right there. Before we leave, Hans, just no pressure, anything like that.
Well, everything
you're what would what would you tell 15 people, 10 people right now? You're a year past, you're now a sophomore. Mm-hmm. What was the biggest surprise going away to college? What was the biggest surprise?
Probably straight up how much freedom there is altogether. There's all your decisions and stuff. It's all you at that point. And you go off and there's a bunch of stuff thrown at you, a bunch of stuff. You can go way this direction or way this direction and you just have to make your own decisions. And it's a lot different. Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Didn't think about that. What about the importance of church?
It's really important. And finding people, people your age, go to church with too. Look for the right friends, really stay in the right crowd, is what I'm trying to say. But it's really important too. And every Sunday, after leaving church, I'd be I needed that this week.
Yeah.
It's
really
good.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. What would you tell Hans 2017,
Hans?
Yeah.
You're awesome.
It's got to be deep. Yeah, it's got to be really deep.
I'm trying to think of it.
We're all waiting.
Something wish I won these running shoes earlier. I don't know. I probably lived off campus for my first year. Cost a lot of money.
You're saying you should have?
Well, I don't know. I could go either way because the experience was good.
Okay.
I don't understand. I'm going to be living with my parents the entire time.
Hey, save money.
Yeah, it does. The money I have to spend maybe is for food and gas. But they're actually going to be moving to Thomaston, building a house, and I'm going to be there, going to college.
That's right.
Thomaston. Not your son, Tom. Not your son.
I didn't mix up Thompson, Georgia. Thompson.
It's not the machine gun. It's Thomaston.
Which you drive through on the way to Augusta, Thompson, Georgia.
Yeah. Oh.
Exit 72.
I never did.
Yeah. And 68.
Thompson's actually south of Atlanta still. It's a lot more south.
Going off a side note there, like a trick to the trade and get it into school. Saving money is what I'm talking about. Don't throw out the option of staying local at least your first year, maybe 2 years. Mm-hmm. Save your money, get your core classes done, transfer wherever the heck you want to go. Because once you get 30 hours under your belt, you're no longer considered like a freshman entering the school. So, I would have never made it into Georgia Tech coming out of high school. But once I had 30 hours under my belt and, you know, whatever GPA, it didn't matter. I'd go to Georgia Tech like it was nothing. They'd be like, okay, yeah, come on in. You can go to the school of your dreams a lot easier that way, transferring in and save yourself a lot of time and money.
Yeah, what Austin did, didn't he? Austin,
yeah. Austin did. He went to West Georgia and transferred in. I went to Gordon and then transferred to Armstrong.
You went to Gordon? My mother went there.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm going to save you some cash that way for sure. Caleb went to West Georgia and, you know, getting into medical school, so it saved him front end so that he's only looking at medical school debt and not his first 4 year debt as well.
Good point. There are other options, not just that you got to go here 4 years.
Yeah. But the pressure and going to the best school, and, you know, whatever. You know, I always kind of thought it was funny when I'd watch friends from high school on Facebook that, you know, they went to Georgia Southern, they went to UGA, they went to Georgia Tech, they went to Georgia State or whatever, and then next year they were back to West Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that was so great. You know, you made it.
Yeah, Hans, I apologize. We just kind of like prayed right as you walked in.
Oh, really?
but
I was going pretty quick down the road.
I'm sorry. We just it was a good flow, and we just sort of talked.
Gotcha, yeah.
But yeah, that helped. I didn't even think about what you just said there about. Yeah.
This has a lot of different perspectives too. Being a student athlete, like that sort of thing.
Yeah. How was that dynamic with like relationships and friendships and?
Friendship wise, it's perfect because like I went into college having like 11 guys be my best friends that I'm gonna see all the time. So that was nice having all those guys
there.
They
created it for you.
Mm-hmm. And plus with stuff like partying and stuff like that, like it keeps you straight because you can't be doing that stuff.
Oh wait, man, so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you have your friends too. They're like, hey man, like we have a race next week, but you gotta calm down.
That's good. That's cool.
Accountability.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It gives you more of like a push too to maintain. Responsible role to be your role
because
you're in a objectified position, like you feel more the weight of it. Mm-hmm. But it's like something that for everybody, whether you're into athletics or not, the importance of being a role model and being a leader throughout your society. You can find that elsewhere.
So your schedule is probably pretty packed.
Oh yeah,
with running in.
Come 9 o'clock at night, I'm ready to go to sleep every night. I'm exhausted.
Yeah. And you get up what, about 7, start all that?
It depends. If we have a morning round, like 5:45.
Oh.
If we don't, it's only like 8 or 9, but
oh man.
How about balancing school and having fun?
That's another thing. Yeah, there's so many like I was even thinking about this a few months ago. It's like life is category wise. There's so much different stuff you have to start looking forward to. I mean, like your school life, and then you got your athletic life, and you got your social life, and you gotta like find a mix between those all. But that's another thing with decisions, like what serves high priority at the time.
Yeah. So was it hard to figure that out? Are you still figuring that out? Or
I feel like I had it pretty under control.
That's good.
I mean, and plus with athletics, you have to keep a certain GPA. And
oh,
so it's like, if you don't, then you're not getting around in the first place. So that's kind of the priority all around.
Wow.
Feel like you're missing out on anything with the pressure of like having to hold a higher responsibility than most people? Like you're missing out on something.
There's been times where it's like I lost some friends, like, hey man, late night ice cream run, let's go get some ice cream. And I'm like, oh man, you know, like I can't, you know, I have an early run tomorrow morning and stuff like that. I mean, sometimes I feel like I'm missing out. There's also so many things like that it brings with you, like every couple of weeks, I get to go and get in a van and drive somewhere awesome with my team and compete. And so, like, you miss stuff, but you also, like, you gain more than you miss. So,
It's been the hardest course.
Hardest course? Probably nationals in Pittsburgh. Okay. It was, first of all, it was 21 degrees. So it was freezing. And then it had been snowing. But the snow melted the day before, so it turned into, mud. And so it was, this much mud and, the hilliest course I had ever ran in my life. And, we ran 10K. I ran almost 4 minutes slower in the 10K than I normally do. And I placed 221st out of 250, so.
Boom! Yeah. Take that, you 29 runners.
Awesome. Yeah, even the winner was, 31 high. Wow. It was that slow, of course, yeah.
Wow. You went to Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
Have you found it harder to live out your faith at Augusta, or about the same, or living out your faith as a believer in Jesus Christ? Was it harder in high school, or is it harder now?
I feel like it was harder in high school.
Wow.
Just because I've been going to church, and then, I go to a Christian school, and so, everything around me is so, Christian. And then when I went to a public school, seeing everybody, and, in my mind, everybody's a Christian. We're all
yeah.
And then you get there, and, you have, two people on a team, for example. They're, they claim, oh, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in anything. And then other people are doing this stuff, and it's just, what?
Yeah.
You exist?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was a big surprise to me. And
you touch him.
I didn't know you Mr. Herrera. Right?
In class.
I said, you knew Mr. Herrera, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He basically did something where we were, one of our projects was basically, one of our things was talking about somebody named Son. I was like, hey, I know him.
Oh, yeah. Nice. But,
So it's harder in high school, you say?
I thought it was harder, because then when I was in college, it's kind of I felt I needed to really help everybody around me, and so it kind of gave me a bigger mindset. I need to
live this out
and show everybody
wow,
what it's
that's
about.
Cool.
And so, yeah.
So then, are people surprised that you're a Christian?
Sometimes, typically, I've met people we were talking to this one girl, and she was talking about partying or something,
yeah.
And I was like, nah, that's not really me. And we started talking a little more, and then I mentioned I was a Christian. She's like, oh, you're a Christian? I was like, yeah. And she's like, oh, okay.
Oh.
And then she, stopped talking, about parties altogether, and I was like, was that bad? what's happening? But that was, orientation, my first,
Wow.
Yeah, it was one of
okay.
the first experiences. But I actually befriended her, though, and we've been talking a lot. So,
yeah,
on the project.
Okay, a lot of projects.
Yeah,
a lot.
You're gonna have a photo book. Yeah,
it could be worse. You could have gone to a Catholic school.
That's true.
You'd have a lot of projects. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is also really important to make friends who like there's this guy on my team named Josh, and he went to public school, so he's been doing this a lot, and
okay,
I have
yeah.
too, and we have really deep conversations. We started a Bible study, and we've gotten probably 3/4 of the cross country team to start going to church with us.
So cool.
And so it's really good. But got a team with people like that,
oh,
make
nice.
Friends with them, and me and Josh, we made an agreement one time. It was December, and we're all right, we got to keep each other in line, you know. And,
yeah.
It's good. Keep each other accountable for stuff.
Yes,
nice.
That's awesome.
Nice.
That is another thing when you are working with a non-believer, to make sure you have another friend to help you. Another Christian,
mm-hmm.
so you're not tag team.
They
yes.
can pull you.
Good.
They can pull you.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice. Nice.
That's exciting.
What else can we ask?
I guess what was it? We mentioned the last question. Last question. Why we don't want to put you on the spot too much.
That's okay. I'm having fun.
Okay. All right. if you could look back, Hans, 2017, 2016. I don't want to call them regrets, but are there anything in your high school days that you wish you would have done different? Especially the last year. Because what we're trying to say is okay, example, Ben and Jacob, stay down there in the basement of our cabin. It's a great time for Appalachian. We're trying to tell them, look, that will not be the reality forever. You know, whenever you have chances to hang out with your friend like that. Just us. You know what I mean? Like, that's few and far between. Now, you're on a team, so it's a little different for you.
Yeah.
Because you might be doing that a little bit more than normal. Mm-hmm. But the idea of seize it, you know, seize the day and carpe diem, seize the carp, all that other stuff of, you know, this is not forever.
Yeah.
And so.
That is something I was even thinking about because I missed the mission trip this year. And when I was thinking about it last year, like, I was actually thinking about like all-time happiest moments of my life. And,
yeah.
Like, one of them included the Appalachian mission trip.
Yeah.
And because it's such a great trip. And so you look back at stuff like that and just really wish I would have taken more advantage of it. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And and what like I was gonna say.
I'm not gonna dance for my food. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm not gonna dance for my food.
You won't make me.
And probably like in high school, like I wish I wouldn't have like categorized myself. Like I was like, you know, oh, I'm on the track team, so I hung out with track people all the time. Wish I had like reached out and like I did a little better my senior year and just started talking to more people, getting to know more people because I don't know, 5-7 common, it's good to know people.
Yeah.
I mean, I can agree with that. There was a core group of friends that I got stuck with, and probably more so in middle school. But there's other people that I wish I would spend more time
mm-hmm.
with because it'd have been a good relationship further down the road.
Like we had this group in high school. They played Super Smash Brothers, right? Like they played during lunch. And I was like, I was normally associated with those guys. And one day I was like, you know what? I'm going to play Super Smash with these guys. Because I thought I was really good. And they spanked me. They absolutely destroyed me. And I was like, what is happening? And so I started playing with them regularly at lunch. Like, they whooped me every single time. But it, like, made friends with them.
Yeah.
It was really fun, yeah.
Can
I
slender box?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Away from the comfort zone.
Yeah.
Which you would agree that college is 80% that. Not being comfortable.
Yeah, you feel pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah.
and you don't know what to do, and you know it's okay not to know what to do. Like, no one's expecting you to go into college and be like, "Oh man, I immediately know I'm gonna start studying at 400 hours or whatever."
Yeah.
Like, you're not doing that. You're just kind of making mistakes and then pick yourself back up and
mm-hmm.
go make some more mistakes and then hope these mistakes turn out better. And they sometimes do, sometimes they don't. They make a friend 1 week, and then the next week they won't talk to you, and you'll never know why. Like, it's just college. You just drift together and drift back apart, and when you get a group project, you go back to those people again. Like, it's not much. Also, one more word of advice. If the shake machine at McDonald's is broken one day, and you come back, and, like, it's magically fixed the next day, I wouldn't. Just give it a week.
That's gold. That is gold.
Give it a week, man.
You should have a pad in writing these words.
We should get Padma on the horn.
Like
tell him this.
Yeah.
You can't trust it. If it's working the next day, you can't
have it. It never works.
Yeah, like, I was like, man, I'm going to, like, get this, like, big old cup of frozen whatever it was, frappuccino, whatever. I don't know what it was called. So I just roll up to the window, and I'm like, oh, man, it's drink the whole thing, and then I'm sitting in class and I'm like,
what are you going?
Wait, I made a horrible mistake.
That was bad, like,
oh no, your stomach's making those noises from the Amityville horse.
And then he just look at you, gotta be like, it's time for another class, I gotta go. Just kind of making your way out of the classroom, like,
it's just like Jeff Foxworthy when he takes all those things and prepare for his colonoscopy. Just like, he had to do it over a period of multiple hours, but he said he did it in under 15 minutes.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
You're not wrong.
You're not wrong. Well, good stuff. Anything, I know we've said this 4 times, but anything else? Because this has been a good time.
I don't know.
It's been a good time. Besides, we if you want round 2 of pizza.
Oh, thank you. I've had enough pizza and cookies.
Yeah.
If your teacher or your professor ever offers you extra credit, you hop on that because later in the semester, you're going to be like, well, at first you're like, I don't need extra credit. What are you talking about? I got an A in this class. And then a test goes by and you're like, wait, hold up. And if you go to the extra credit, it makes you look less like you're like, please give me points so I can pass this class. And more of like, I totally am invested in this class and what you're teaching. I'm very interested. Yes, now please give me points.
So how long does it take to give you extra credit? It sounds like extra credit would be a lot harder.
It's really not. Like, they'll ask you to go to a meet, to like a speaker's conference, and they'll be like, take some notes and turn them into me. Like, it's, you're just showing them that you're enthusiastic about the stuff they want you to do.
And professors are a different breed as far as personality. They're just very unique, good people, but just very unique. You've been in a book like half your life. If you have a PhD, you're pretty head.
Although I did prove my entire English class wrong that the thermoflies took place in the World War II. It actually took place during the Cold War.
Boom.
God. That's the kind of thing you're. Professor would be like, write me an essay about it to prove it.
I think.
You know, Lord of the Flies is a biblical term. Beelzebub. That's the literal wording. Lord of the fly, or the fly god. But yeah.
I think that what actually does have basically a biblical thing to it.
Beelzebub. There's an L. God. Yeah. B. Oh, I got you.
But
it's what Jesus called Satan. You are Lord. Lord of the Flies, because where the flies land.
Have you ever actually read the book?
That's
your very good
book.
It was,
I mean, he's Lord and Savior, and but it was, you know, masterful wording there when he called
it. Satan.
Yes. In so many words, he raised Satan.
All the kids.
Yeah. Like if I was Peter or one of the apostles, I'd be like, oh! All right, well, get yourself some pizza. We don't want to. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That when we're done?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, see you guys, I guess, Wednesday.
See you
all.
No, that's going to be like on the church website.
No. Better not.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.